Nick Nolte is best known for such films as 48 Hours, Down and Out in Beverly Hills, Cape Fear, The Prince of Tides, and Lorenzo's Oil. Now he's starring in the new movie Afterglow, written and directed by Alan Rudolph. It's somewhere between a romantic comedy and drama about two couples whose marriages are on the rocks. Nolte plays Lucky, a contractor who keeps women happy by fixing their homes and taking them to bed. His wife, Phyllis, played by Julie Christie, is a former B-movie actress who passes the days watching her old movies. It's through home renovation that Lucky meets Marianne, played by Lara Flynn Boyle. They begin a heated affair. Here they are in a bar at the start of their relationship.
How does your wife handle it so well? It has to be difficult. It has to hurt her.
Well... Phil and I ain't had sex in a long while. I mean, it was her choice, her decision. But I know why. It came from an argument we had a long time ago. And, she... Some stuff got said that we couldn't take back. And this is how we pay for it.
My husband won't have sex with me either. Or he can't. He hasn't said which. So there you go.
There you go.
Nick Nolte, welcome to Fresh Air. Let me ask you to start by describing your character in the new movie Afterglow.
Well, oh my God, describe the character. I never really know what these characters are until I see the film, and then I never realized that I did that. Lucky Man, that's the name of the character, Lucky Man. He's a man, a simple man. He's a man that basically isn't caught up in the mainstream of life, of pursuit of money and fame, and he's just a simple man that wanted to work with his hands, and he married an actress, a gal that was making B-film in Hollywood, and he had a wonderful marriage, and they had a wonderful daughter, and so he's a carpenter, and then after 15 years, he found out that his daughter was not his, and then basically there's big problems in the relationship from then on.
The film critic David Thompson has a little profile of you in his Encyclopedia of Film. I don't know if you've read it or not, but he says, Nolte is a subject for rejoicing and great hope, for we face the rest of this century with at least one actor capable of playing large, mature, but deeply troubled men. What do you think of that description?
I think that's just all right.
Yeah. What about the large, mature, but deeply troubled men? Do you think of that as a kind of role that you often play?
No, I don't. I just think that's the way the world is. So I assume the world is much like myself. I mean, if you look at the world, it's violent. And it always has been for thousands of years. This seems to be the nature of mankind. Violence is in biological imperative for some reason. So I, in my work, am going after what I see in the world. And I'm trying to translate that because I have this terrible urge and need to do this, not for any other reason than to do this, or otherwise I just don't think that I just don't respond healthily any other way to society. When I grew up in the 50s, I grew up in a rough time. For me, I considered it a rough time. It was a time when I, as a little child, looked up and saw large adults competing very heavily with one another in a kind of violent way. It was a time of great secrecy, great conformity. If you didn't conform, you were in terrible trouble with the authorities and very strict rules. And on top of that, we always had to climb under our desk because we were going to be obliterated any second into ashes. So you had one or two choices as a child in that kind of a world: either conform to it and get as invisible as possible, or rebel. And I did, that's why I, you know, have been enraged all my life.
Well, you said that, you know, you act because, how did you put it?
It's a psychological or biological imperative, or certainly a psychological one. I mean,
but it's interesting because you didn't start doing it until fairly late in life for an actor. I think you weren't even on the stage till your early 20s. Your first really big role came when you were about 35 on Rich Man, Poor Man.
Right.
What got you on the stage in the first place? You'd been better known for football. You had a football college scholarship.
Yes, but the football thing is, if you really study the situation. I became a football player when I did North Dallas 40, and that's the odd part of it. I played a football player in a movie, and then from then on, I became this great football player. I was a very minor athlete, in truth. I was quite frankly wandering around this country in the early 60s, late 50s, from Mexico to all around, hanging out in universities for short periods of times, searching, and psychologically very screwed up.
Searching for what?
Well, searching for some place to be comfortable in a world that was just a very uncomfortable place. You know, Vietnam hadn't happened yet. Really, it was still under the 50s guise of everybody fit in conformity. I must say that my whole personality and psyche and everything became extremely peaceful during the 60s because I was no longer one of the minority. I became the majority as we revolted and rebelled against Vietnam and all of that kind of thing, and we stopped going into the classes, and a lot of things changed. But I saw a play that was specifically about situations. It was Death of a Salesman and such situations that I was going through. So I saw this, and I said, Jesus, you know, this is something that I can be involved in. I can read it, I can watch it, and you can also become part of it. So I got up on stage, and it was that horrible experience, that absolute horror. Your worst nightmare to be on stage, but at the same time, there was an underneath feeling that this was home. You were home.
My guest is actor Nick Nolte. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Nick Nolte. As a younger man, you were convicted of a felony of selling counterfeit draft cards. What were you selling them for? Was this so underage drinkers could drink? I mean, what was the point of the counterfeit draft cards?
The point of the counterfeit draft cards was to undermine the American government. Basically, undermine the war effort. Started out just so that we could undermine the law against drinking alcohol when everybody else got to. And then it slowly progressed into undermining the American government. The crux of the matter and where it became the big difficulty was that it was a political act. That's what they classified it as.
You were given a suspended sentence, but you were fined $75,000. Did you have to pay the fine?
No.
That was suspended too?
The sentence was $75,000 fine, 45 years in jail, 7 counts of counterfeit government documents. Suspended that and gave me, under Youth Correction Act, which means that after my probation period, it's supposedly to be wiped off my record, but the National Enquirer found out about it and tried to blackmail me on it, and I called Rona Barrett and said, well, can I come in and confess on your show? And she said, sure, and I came in and confessed, and then they stopped blackmailing me on it.
What was the impact of the confession?
Secrecy of government issue. You know.
What was the impact of the confession?
The impact of the confession was that Rona had no idea what I was going to confess to, and I just threw it out there to the over the national television, and so the Enquirer backed off. They had no story. But Rona then asked me about drugs in America and how bad marijuana was, and I went on to defend that there was nothing wrong with a marijuana plant in itself. It's us that the problem lies, and she's was against the plant itself, and so I caught her off guard, and she wanted to reshoot it, and I refused to, and So she never liked me after that. So then I kept appearing in her magazine with little quotes underneath. And what is Nick on today?
Well, you did have drug and alcohol problems for a while. Did that have a bad impact on your ability to act?
No, it never carried over into my work, at least not that I think of. But I'm sure it impacted everything. I mean, yeah, I indulged out. I drank the bottom out of the bottle. I drank down to the worm. And eventually it didn't work for me anymore. As I said, I'm a very uncomfortable person in the world. And so drugs and alcohol worked for me a while to make me comfortable. And then after a while, it didn't work, and it started to actually kill me.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Nick Nolte, and he's starring in the new movie called Afterglow, which is written and directed by Alan Rudolph. And you'll soon be able to see him starring in Affliction, which is based on a Russell Banks novel and directed by Paul Schrader. As we were talking about, you know, you started acting, you know, comparatively late. One of the things you're known for in the acting world, I understand, is doing whatever you need to do to get into character. The example that's always used is like for Beverly Hills, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. You actually lived in a skid row for a while, didn't bathe or brush your teeth for a while you were playing a homeless guy. Do you think that part of the reason why you take that kind of approach to get into a role is because you didn't like start training, you know, for a stage career when you were 17 or something like that? Did you feel like you had to really throw yourself into it once you started?
No. There again, you got to draw a distinction between what acting is. You know, my idea of acting, which is my idea because it is my life, is that it's some kind of internal rhythm that I have to do. It's something I need to do. I need to go down on Skid Row and live like a man on the street as well as I can, because I need to understand that. I'm not doing it to make $1 million, and I'm not doing it to get a lot of fame. I'm doing it because this provides me the opportunity to go down on the street. And it's not so much to get into the role, but acting is behavior to me. It's not putting on a good show, you know. It's not applaud me. It's something I need to do.
So
it's my life, you know.
So what did you do on Skid Row when you were researching the
I walked around and I sat down with a guy named Al, and he asked me if I had a cigarette, and we were drinking wine, and I gave him a cigarette, and he grabbed me and gave me a big hug, and he started bawling, and he said, "I'm sorry, Pete, I'm so goddamn sorry, I'm just sorry, I'm sorry." And I said, "It's all right, it's all right," and I patted him on the back. Tremendous pain, tremendous. The streets are not about homelessness, it's about hopelessness, you know?
If you're playing a homeless person, you have the option of, you know, living on the street for a while. But say you're doing a role like Afterglow, where you're playing a carpenter and contractor who is very popular with single women and unhappily married women because they can flirt with him and sometimes even make it with him. And his own marriage, he loves his wife, but his marriage is they're kind of estranged in their own way. It's a kind of complicated character study. It's a character study that's both a comedy and a drama. There's no, like, kind of Skid Row. There's no like, extreme to go to as part of the research for a movie like that. Do you know what I mean? So what do you do to get into a character who's a guy, who's a kind of real guy?
Well, I hung out with carpenters. I hung out with, guys that did this kind of stuff. Just a little bit. I mean, I wanted to get the physicality right. I wanted to be able to handle a hammer. I wanted to know how
to look right under the sink.
Yeah, I wanted to build a wall. I wanted to know how to build a wall.
Uh-huh.
The physicality of Lucky was a different thing. I had to build him out of what kind of physical activity he does, you know, so I wanted to do that, and then, you know, you draw from what the story is told from your own life, you know, your relationships and things in that. And since I know nobody, absolutely nobody in this world that has a perfect relationship, I had wealth of material to draw upon.
Nick Nolte, he stars in the new movie Afterglow. He also stars in Affliction, based on a Russell Banks novel. That movie will be shown at the Sundance Film Festival, which begins next week. I'm Terry Gross.